One of those famous lines of in films throughout history, the scene in Casablanca, as Rick sits there confides to Sam of all the gin joints in all the world, in all the towns in all the world, she had to walk into mine. There's a kind of sense of that around the scene of the calling of the disciples. There they are, getting on with their life one way and another, and Jesus walks in. If you read the account in Luke's Gospel, there's a sense of Jesus having been around for a while. But regardless of that, Jesus comes along and touches their lives in a new and profound way. I remember some years ago now, in a previous circuit, we'd had a complete change of staff over about 3 years, and one of our members who worked as an industry trainer volunteered to do a team building day for us all. And one of the things we all had to do beforehand was a personality test. We all did them. And as we were on our way to the event, the person who was leading the event and I lived near each other, and so we travelled in the same car to get there. As we were going along, she said, I need to tell you something that I probably ought to leave, but everyone else is going to hear it later on in the day. But I'll tell you now that in the personnel world, we have this belief that there are certain personality types that are suited to certain roles. And she said, and there are two that are regarded as spot on for clergy. And he says, there's five staff in our circuit, and none of them have that personality type. Says, and you're all different. And she said, there's two things, really. One is I probably need to write to the people who write the books and say they're wrong. And the second is that the next 5 years are either going to be terrible or wonderful. I think they were a kind of mix of the two. But actually, the fact that we were all different was actually one of the strengths. I think we wouldn't, actually, with one or two things that happened over the 5 years that followed, we wouldn't have survived if we'd all been the same kind of people, because actually different people brought their strengths at different times. And that's what happens in this little story from John chapter 1. With Jesus, there are some very clear different personality types. First, there's the prophet. John. Behold the Lamb of God, says John as he stands there, seeing Jesus come along. John has already got followers. It was not uncommon in the first century for people to attach themselves to teachers and preachers and to do things like that many rabbis and priests. People would actually go and live in their house as their apprentices. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, the prophetic character is kind of one we all like when it's farther away and kind of pointing out things. Many people in Britain Loved it when Desmond Tutu stood up and called out the South African government. But that was really quite uncomfortable for lots of people around and about. The prophet is one who points. And we need those people who kind of tell it like it is, who look out, who see just over the horizon. Sometimes forthtelling, sometimes foretelling. Although, as I say, that can sometimes be really uncomfortable. And there is a test that the scriptures lay against those with that character, and that's, does what they say come true? And does it ring true? There's an incident in Jeremiah where there's a prophet who goes around and says all the things, called Micaiah, who goes around and says all the things that the king wants to hear. It's a load of baloney. He's not a prophet at all. He's a yes man. And quite often people like people who look like prophets but are actually yes men or women. John was not one of those. And Jesus called him. And then there's what we might call the curious. And in my experience, there's lots of curious people around church. Yeah, that one's going to kind of dawn on people in waves, isn't it? But in this particular instance, Andrew is curious. He's already a follower of John. He's one of those people who's always wanting to know about things. He's finding out things. The Andrews of this world were born for our current day when almost every one of us has in our pocket a gadget that can access the whole of all the history and thinking of the universe, provided our battery doesn't run out just at the crucial moment. And what do people do? They spend their time trading insults and posting pictures of cats. That's curious. But this kind of curiosity is that nature that wants to find out about things and learns. So when John says, "Behold the Lamb of God," an echo of Isaiah's song that there would be one who would not just be the shepherd, but would lay down his life for others. Andrew thinks, could this be the one? Am I living at that moment in history when everything's going to change? He's curious about practical things as well. Teacher, where are you staying? Except for the fact that, of course, he's wondering, is this a teacher who will take in apprentices? And I love the way Jesus answers. Jesus would be wonderful if you're one of those families or households or groups of friends who plays that kind of party game where you have to answer a question with a question. Where are you staying? Come and see. Why don't you find out for yourself? He catches Andrew's interest, and off he follows. Andrew followed Jesus, it says. Because the curious will move on. But actually Andrew is more than just that. He's a befriender as well. Because many of us have more than one facet to our character. Those of you with long memories will remember that Andrew was a character singled out as a model for being a Christian by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Organisation. often before their events, they used to describe, "Well, come and be part of Operation Andrew," because it says Andrew. The first thing Andrew did was found his brother Simon and brought him to Jesus. See, Andrew's not a prophet. He's not one who stands up and says, "Whoa, behold the Lamb of God." He says, "Hey, look what I found out. Come along and join in. We have found the Messiah." Andrew's one of those people who puts things together. The Lamb of God, are you the one? Come and see. 2 and 2, it makes more than 3.5, you know. Come on, Simon. We found the Messiah, the one who's got how God is showing us himself. Perhaps you're a bit like that. Perhaps you're one of those people who's curious. Actually, I've known you all long enough. There's several of you who are really quite curious. But you're quite curious in that way as well, aren't you? And that befriender. Let's go and find out together. And then the next day, the story carries on with a completely different character, Philip. And Philip shows himself as quite a practical person through the Gospels. He kind of works out things between people. He says, "Well, how about this?" And Philip, finding Philip, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And Philip, again, like Andrew, is someone who knows that company is good. It says he found Nathanael. And finding Nathanael, he goes and searches out someone who's kind of lost in his own thoughts. Philip's a practical person. He's often found sorting things out. He might be the Philip, we assume he is, who way on 3.5 years later in Acts suddenly gets alongside a high-ranking official in a chariot who's reading out loud from Isaiah. And he asks a simple question. Do you understand what that's about? What are you reading? Do you understand it? How can I, says the man, unless someone explains it? Philip, very practical, says, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll explain it to you then." Prophets, the curious, befrienders, practical people. And then there's Nathanael. Nathanael is a skeptic. He's a bit of a thinker as well. But there he is, taking his time, watching everyone else, weighing everything up. Like all the others, it's a valuable characteristic. And when Philip says, knows Nathanael will want information, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." You see this? Each time someone else comes into the story, they add a bit more of the information about who Jesus is, until they get to Nathanael, who says, "Ha! Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" He needs convincing. Maybe he's someone with some past difficult experience. Or a bit like Rick in his bar, thinks, all the places to come from, Nazareth. Or maybe he's thinking, but the Messiah will come from Bethlehem, not a little sheep town up in the northeast. Come and see, says Philip. Come and see. And Jesus deals with him differently again. Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. That's a quite profound statement. It's a recognition that there were many people doing all sorts of stuff that looked good, but actually their hearts weren't right. And although Nathaniel might have been a bit prickly to be with, nonetheless, there he was. How do you know me? I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Nathaniel would know this was someone who could put two and two together himself, because there's a promise in the Old Testament that there will come a day when each one will rest under their own fig tree. And it's a symbol of Israel. Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Isn't it fascinating? Each of these people sees something different. All of them true. The Lamb of God. The Messiah. The Rabbi. We found the one whom Moses spoke about. The King. You'll see heaven opened and the angels of God descending and ascending on the Son of Man. There is already, at the calling of the disciples, a huge variety of people. The next 3 years were either going to be terrible or wonderful, my friend would have said. And it was a bit of both. But already there's a richness in seeing not only are different people called, but the whole glorious set of facets of all that Jesus was and is were beginning to be seen. As we begin the journey of 7 weeks that will lead us to the cross and the resurrection, if you're no great keeper of days, well, that's fine. But nonetheless, it's a journey. Here we have some disciples to journey with. And you know the glorious thing? That as we shared in the family meal, each one of us very different, as we come here, we see Jesus, the one who is everything, able to call each of us afresh, because different though we are, together we are the family of God. And the different experiences we bring, the different personalities we are, the different aspects of Jesus that will ring most true to each of us, they are all part of his purpose and all come together in forming the wholeness of his people. So as we walk once again towards the death and the resurrection of Jesus, I invite you, come as you are and be transformed by the one who is all in all, the Lord, the Messiah, the King, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world.